This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine, and we actually have in the studio our first guest, David.
Yes, we do.
Yep, so we actually have in the studio our Gosha Vodacek.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I probably completely murdered your name, Gosha, but welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
No, you're more than welcome. We'd love to hear about the show that you're doing, or the exhibition. There's an exhibition at the Bunjik Place Gallery, which is part of the city of Casey. And we were just talking about where that was. You said it was just a couple of train stops before Dandenong.
After Dandenong. Towards the east. So it's really far. Yeah. And this project was my opportunity of the first encounter with this place and with the building and with the people and with city of Casey as the surrounding. And I was actually pretty impressed.
Yeah. Right, excellent.
Yes.
It sounds great. So now this is an exhibition called Trace Exhibition.
Yes.
It's an exploration of drawings from six contemporary artists. So maybe just before we actually get onto the show, Gosha, I'm just interested to have a little bit of a chat about yourself, if that's all right. We'd just like to have a bit of a chat about our guests to see where their involvement in the arts and how you got involved as a curator. So,
as an artist.
Well, there you go. Sorry, as an artist, and then now I suppose curating as well. So, how did you start your journey in art and become an artist?
So my name, maybe first. My name is Gosha Vodacek, and as everyone here, it's quite difficult to pronounce because it's Polish name. I was born in Poland and I grew up in Poland and I was also educated in Poland. So my degree is from Poland and I finished Academy of Fine Arts in Poznań with master degree of visual arts, and my field of work is drawing, and in very, very broad sense of this word.
So you would have been grew up in Poland when it was under
communist government. Communist, whatever.
So what was that like? Were you stifled within your art?
It was quite challenging. It was challenging because I was one of those. I am from the generation who actually experienced solidarity. The expansion of solidarity. We all joined in, and that was amazing energy. And then it was martial law, which I experienced. I was there, and I was on second year of my of studying, and that was this 1981, and it's famous, the opportunity for people to actually go out. That was this biggest wave of migrants in here from that time, because you could actually, you were accepted. And I remember at that time, before the martial law started, which was December, in during our vacation, which is summertime in Northern Hemisphere, that means academic vacation, it's June, July, August, and September. And I was in Switzerland, my friends whom I visited there, they asked, maybe you would stay because the situation is very, very dangerous there, unstable. Yep. You could actually stay here. And I was thinking, what should I do? I could stay here, but what about my study? If I have any opportunity to actually finish the school, like my school here, maybe I will have to go and wash dishes and that's it. What should I do? This is a dangerous decision and quite tough. But because of work, because of my practice, and because of that was the most important thing.
So
for
you
me.
Went back.
I went back.
Wow.
I went back and then martial law started in December. So we had this, few months towards that was okay, like 2 months actually, October, November, then December started martial law, and it was really, really horrible. Could you imagine the situation when actually you're actually doing stuff on one day and studying and going shopping and everything is semi-normal, and then And then I was living in the student house, and so in the morning there's this radio, like the radio through the student house. It's just like shouting, announcing, all students pack up and you have to leave the accommodation in today. There is this martial law, everything is shutting down, school is shut, is going to be shut down, everything is closed, the cities are closed, you know, you've got checkpoints, you have to just leave, go home. So you are, actually you don't know what's going on.
Yep.
Go out, see the life, semi-normal life, the buildings are there, but people are different, of course. You go to the shop and there is nothing there. So day before, you had everything on shelves and you could actually more or less buy food. It was scarce because it was the problems were there already. But then you come after that and it's empty, actually.
Gosh. You know? And how many years did that go on for?
Oh, that was actually, that started in December towards Christmas. I went home. Everything was closed. The school was closed. We were told, the TV closed, radio doesn't work. You know, in your TV, you've got only the special programs from the government.
Yep.
And saying you that this is this, that. And then you've got the soldiers and everybody around, you know, everywhere. And, you know, parking in on the outskirts of city with checking everybody, you had to have special permit to travel and things like that. And that's the most important, the school was closed. And I was completely depressed for months. Yeah. And then in February, we got information, the school is open, the situation is under, you know, the martial law and this regime control, but you can continue. So I actually could go back. And of course, I went back.
And what were you studying?
I was studying actually because in Poland, the course is in Academy of Fine Arts. It's 5 years, and I actually enrolled into study the graphic arts, which means, you know, I wanted to be a printmaker, but to be a printmaker, I had to finish also the graphic design. So that was my second year, and that was the graphic design, and then I was approaching to the printmaking. And in printmaking, actually, that was one bit which was difficult. That was actually during martial law what I was doing, and everything which we were actually working on, like you producing an etching, for example, and you want to print it, so you had to go to the office and get a stamp that you can actually print it,
right?
So it's nothing dangerous,
yeah.
To the regime. And okay. Of course, people were doing all sorts of things. You know, we were doing all sorts of things, like, you know, the stenciling the walls, because our school was next to the police station, to the militia. That was really like...
Yeah.
It was challenging.
So you finished your degree?
I finished my degree, and that was, you know, towards the end of my studying, which was 84, the situation started to... East. Mm. Poland was, the solidarity was underground and they were fighting and people were actually against but the Russia was shaking and slowly collapsing, you know, economically especially. Right. And they had so many problems from Iran that actually that situation had to change. And towards the end of 80s, it actually changed so much that we could travel. Poland was in a little bit different situation than other countries of our bloc, because we didn't have things, like we didn't have goods, we didn't have much food, but we had more information and books and things like that, which was more important. We had films, we had, you know, so that was, you know, that was important. And I started to travel too, and I finished 84 with a master degree with printmaking and drawing.
So how did you end up in Australia?
Well, I, because of this generation I belong to, people at the time, you would think, oh, that was so energetic because we were fighting, but it was also huge. People were depressed, hugely depressed. Yeah. And really not good mental state. And it was difficult to work behind that. Like, you know, your friends, everybody who actually belonged to your circle, they were all people like you from that era.
Yep.
It was like almost post-traumatic disorder of talking and mingling in this situation. So when the situation with travel changed in 1988, I actually went abroad to India to visit my friend, the Swiss friend whom I visited in India. This, the same people. And stayed there 3 months and then came back and really liked it so much because it was against this, the situation there for people, for everybody was so difficult that it actually is what I experienced.
Right.
So I wanted to go again, and I went in 1990, and at that time I met in Delhi my friend from high school, and he convinced me to visit his friend in Singapore. And I went there, and in this friend in Singapore actually became my husband.
Right.
It was a Polish friend who actually was sitting there and okay. doing business to support his life, actually. That's what people were doing, yep. Polish people. And but he was the person who actually fought in Solidarity. He longing was Solidarity person, and he actually couldn't, find himself later in Poland. But when communist collapsed, he really wanted to go back. So I met him. We were 1 year in Asia traveling, and then we decided we are going back to Poland, see what happens, and maybe, you know, start over again. And I, before these trips, I was actually working in Poland as book designer and illustrator, because I had this kind of a qualification from my study too.
Yep.
And I told her I will do the same again. I will be designing books covers, and I will actually do my work, like drawings and printmaking, and you know, practice like before. We went back, but it didn't work, actually. We just couldn't. The energy was amazing there. In Warsaw, everything was happening. We were going to the theater almost like, you know, 3 times a week. We would just, it was really amazing. But still, your friends are the same people. So you have this, you know, evenings with alcohol and the stocks drank on and on, and we decided this is, you know, it's not going to work. If we want to construct something, like to bring everything what we live through together and do something about it, we have to actually live and maybe apply it on some other different ground.
Yes.
We traveled a lot because Longing loves to travel, so I joined and we were traveling, and in 1992 we actually decided we had opportunity to come to Australia and visit our friends whom we met a year earlier in Borneo. So these people, they were a retired Australian couple. The man was fighting in Second World War with Japanese on Borneo, and that's why he was there with his wife to show the jungle. We were there because we wanted to see the caves in Borneo. We met, we really like each other, and they said, oh, visit us, you know, one day. And this one day happened next year.
Okay.
We came to Perth. We traveled through Australia for 3 months. We bought the bus pass, Greyhound Pioneer, and we just did the circle and a cross, and we really liked it.
Right, okay. And so you decided
to live here. we went back to Poland, and we went to Warsaw. We applied, we put, you know, papers in Australian embassy for permanent residency. And we've got it.
Okay.
As artists.
And so you've lived in Melbourne here?
So, you know, and we were quite adult, you know, you can imagine. I was, I was 33, Longin was 35, and we came here in 1994, opened the visa, went back to reorganize our life. We had publishing house at that time in Poland and everything, so it took us 2 years to actually reorganize ourselves. And then we decided either we stay here or we go there. You can't do both, because our visa was permanent residence. We could just go backwards and forwards like that. That was kitting program, you know, we didn't know at the time. I was quite impressed that Australia gives visa to artists like this.
Yeah, you know?
Okay, yep. But it was that. And so we decided we are coming permanently, pack our bags, and 1996 we landed in Perth and we started. And it was quite shocking. It was so different.
Oh, yes. Well, it was originally from Perth.
Oh, God. But it was different. I mean, to establish yourself, like, to reconnect with your practice in completely different, like, different place.
So when, how did you do that?
You know how difficult it is to answer this question? I even don't know how did I do it, because it was actually so different. So different that I I think I was doing everything just like try and see thing and meeting a lot of strange, you know, situation, like everything, the infrastructure, everything what I was used to, it was different.
Yep.
People were different. The education of this was different. The boys clubs thing, you know, there's some other stuff happening. So that was...
So yep. Did you start doing printmaking here in Australia?
I started doing printmaking. Yeah. I thought, well, I will find studio, different equipment, everything different. Yep. But anyway, that was Printmakers Association of Western Australia in Perth.
Okay.
So I started there because I wanted to meet people.
Yep.
You know, that was most important. And then I realized that I wanted to design books, actually, because I thought, you know, I can earn money with books and then do my final practice and not worrying about selling, because in Poland we didn't have commercial market.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, you have to earn somehow somewhere else and then you know, support your practice. Okay. But whenever I go somewhere with my portfolio, they were saying, oh, you just should concentrate on your fine art practice. We can't give you a work as a designer for something because you are overqualified.
Right.
So, you know, on the end, I actually decided, well, yes, I have to do what I really wanted to always to do as a main thing, yep, which means drawing and then printmaking maybe. Printmaking didn't work that much because it was so different, but drawing started to grow.
Yeah. Okay.
And really the context was so different and so challenging that actually my practice changed completely and really, really actually
blossomed.
I didn't want to say this word, but it did.
Well, let's talk about this exhibition that you're part of. You're with there's six of you, contemporary artists, and you're doing drawings. Is that right?
Yes. Each of us, we work with completely different notion of drawing or understanding of drawing. My work is. It's about translation and interpretation. It's a large-scale drawing installation on the wall, constructed over a week period of time, with seven people who are my assistants. And the work is actually, yes, it's about translation translating the text into the drawing using a set of pictograms which are parts of my other drawings. So the process was like that I actually selected the source drawing, which I call it, it's my Frost drawing series, which is very, very popular through Australia and abroad. And then from this line structures, I selected very, very small fragments, enlarged them and created a pictorial alphabet. Each pictogram represents a letter of English alphabet plus some punctuation marks. And then I was interacting with the gallery, with the curator and about selecting of the text. First, I wanted that the gallery would select the text, which would be some kind of the contribution or something appropriate to the place. But then they suggested that it would be nice for the exhibition that I actually select the message to the people, to the audience.
Now what's it like working with other artists? You know,
I actually didn't work with the other artists because every one of us has
doing their own individual thing.
Because some... The works which are in the exhibition, a part of mine, they are actually already made. So they were selected by the curator and installed in the gallery.
Right. Yep.
And mine was made in situ. That's mainly what I do. I actually create large installations and projects in situ.
Okay. And it's called Trace?
No, the exhibition is called Trace, but my work is called Found in Trace Translation, that is the series, and this is Bunjil Place work, and the title of the text, which actually comes into the title of the work, is Invisible Cities, by Italo Calvino.
Right.
So this is the fragment, an expert from this book, which for me is very important book. I see Italo Calvino as one of the best thinkers, philosophers, and writers of our time. So that's why I really like this.
Excellent.
Okay. And the exhibition is on now at the moment?
Yes, the exhibition is on now, and it continues the 24th of February.
That's right. Yeah.
And actually my work is interactive. It actually includes instruction for the viewers. So people who come to the exhibition, they get the instruction and they actually can decipher the drawing, which means that they can read the text which is on the wall, which right. I heard from the gallery that the people very much right. enjoy.
Okay. Sounds fantastic.
That makes it really interesting, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today and telling your story.
Thank you.
There was so much more that you could tell us.
I know there's so much.
Oh. But unfortunately, we've run out of time.
But maybe the next exhibition that you do, we can get you
thank
again.
You.
Yeah, yes.
It would be my pleasure. And sorry maybe for going too much into abandoning the present yeah. little bit.
The exhibition's called
Trace.
Yes.
And where is it?
It's at Bunjil Place Gallery, and it's on until the 24th of February.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much
for having me.
You're here
Thank you.
On Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.